you're very welcome back eventually after 8 months away, I think, to the Meath Chronicle Sports Podcast Talk a Good Game. We have a new co-host with us, or a new host with us now, is Tom Gannon. Jimmy Gagan has forsaken us on Mondays, Tom. We used to record these on the Monday. We're still doing it here today now on a Monday. Jimmy doesn't work on a Monday anymore, so you're very welcome to Meath Chronicle Towers. Tom is now working with us for 3 days a week, and hopefully going to extend that later on in the year by another couple of days at no extra fee, of course. But you're very welcome to Meath Chronicle, Tom. Good to have you.
Thanks very much, Fergal. It's excited to get going with this podcast, and it's excited to get going with the Meath Chronicle overall. So, I've been here a month or two now, so all is going well, I think, anyway, so far.
Yeah, all going good. You're a bit more technologically minded than I am, so that's why Martin, who was producing our podcast, left for Pastures New as well. So we were struggling to get the podcast back up and running, but you being a bit more technologically minded than I am, we'll try to keep it going for as often as we can again. I think myself and Jimmy signed off the last podcast about 8 months ago saying we'd see you again next week, so that didn't really happen. But look, it's been a busy, no point in recapping the last 8 months or so, because the last 8 days have been fairly hectic, and the next 8 days are going to be fairly hectic. But probably the one big story that's jumping out at everybody in Mead at the minute, for those that are concerned about it, is the Mead Hurling story, Tom. It's been a bit of a tumultuous few days since last Wednesday, when Saoirse Bulfin, he rang me, actually, and he rang a few of the boys in the local media just to let us know that he was stepping down as Mead senior hurling manager. Sure. Now, he didn't go into the whys, where's, when's and how's of it, being the gracious sort of fella that he is, but he said it was for personal reasons and family commitments. He is making a huge drive coming up from Limerick 3 or 4 times a week to go to Mead training and all the away games, and putting a huge amount of work into everything that goes along with that. But a couple of days later then, on Saturday, the Mead Hurling Committee Chairman Martin O'Halloran resigned from his role. So, you know, when one thing follows the other like that, Tom, it can give the impression that, you know, all's not rosy in the garden, or all isn't as clear-cut as the personal reasons that Saoirse mentioned it was. Would that be your reading of it?
Yeah, I think so. Absolutely. I think what was very telling as well, previous to that, Jimmy had done an interview with Saoirse after the Down game. Yeah. And you could really tell in that interview, reading between the lines, that Saoirse, obviously didn't really get at this, but he was kind of getting at the fact that hurling was at times being neglected in the county, a little bit. I wonder, did that play a factor in his thinking? But, you know, yeah, as I said, there is probably issues going on there behind closed doors that, you know, we'll probably not find out about. But
yeah, well, just on that, when I was talking to him last Wednesday, I had asked him that, you know, did you feel as if you were a second-rate citizen, and he says no, it wasn't that at all. That right. He always felt he got great support from the county board, and anything he asked for, that he normally got, and he had a great working relationship with Martin O'Halloran, and Martin would be a pretty strong character on the Mead County Board at the time. So, I didn't get that impression. He did accept, as I said, that Mead hurling, or that hurling in Mead is secondary to football, that we are a football county, and he accepted that. But he says that, you know, he said to me, he says, thanks for all your coverage and all the support that the Mead Chronicle had given him down through the years. And he said, I very much doubt that the Limerick footballers, in contrast, that the Limerick footballers would be getting the same amount of coverage in the local media as the Mead hurlers get up here. So he was comparing and contrasting Mead hurling to the Limerick football. But he said that the support that he's received would definitely be, you know, probably more than the support the Limerick footballers would receive down in Limerick. So he was happy enough with that element of it.
And likewise, I only had a couple of deals with him, but I'm sure you'll agree with this. I covered the Kildare game, and it was the Carlow game. And after the match, he was an absolute gentleman to deal with. and just like, you know, as you said, he's given thanking you for the support, and you know, he was really, really good to deal with. Yeah, as well, you know?
Yeah, he was, and I've done trips to London with them, and I've been down in Tralee with them, and you know, I find the hurling fraternity great to deal with, and the players as well. That's why I'm shocked with how this has transpired, because you know, of course, all sorts of rumours fly around as to, you know, why is it on a Sunday he's saying, yeah, he's looking forward to the Joe McDonagh Cup, and then on a Wednesday or Wednesday week, then it's no, sorry, I'm stepping down from the role after giving such a huge commitment to it. There is talk and rumours that there was discussions going on behind the scenes and about his role, and that it might have been made clear to him that he wasn't the one that was seen as the man to bring Meath hurling forward. But you know, it's a pity, as you said, he is a very he is a very affable, nice fella, great for the media to talk to. But some people don't like that either. You know, some people at county board, players maybe sometimes don't like to see somebody going out and taking the, I'm using my air quotes, taking the spotlight by giving the talk and talking to the media. But somebody has to represent them, and like, nobody seems to have a problem with Colm O'Rourke doing it with the Meath footballers. And Colm is another very, you know, a great man to talk after games, and really gives you good insight, and is open and honest, and very frank with the media, and you know, we get on great with him. And but there's a respect, a two-way respect there, that he respects what we're going to report, and we respect what he has to say to us. So there is that relationship between the media, which, as I said, sometimes, you know, county board officials or players don't see it that way. And then again, we're not privy to what goes on behind the red brick or the red walls of Dungannon. We don't know what's going on out there. Maybe there is a bit of friction. Maybe there is something that's happening that people just weren't happy with. So the Meath hurlers have to move on, and not only do they have to find a whole new management team, they also have to find a new hurling committee chairman. And there's also the thing, small matter, of a game against Down in the first round of Joe McDonagh in 3 weeks. So
it's going
to be tough.
Yeah, sure, absolutely. Where would you say, like, when I look at the league performances when Sasha Bolton was there, obviously it was a mixed performance, but, you know, it's not... I don't think it's beyond expectations of Meath hurling fans to think that we could potentially at some stage compete with the likes of Carlow and with the likes of Leeds, just in our own province. But we were obviously better today by them teams in the lead. Like, where does it go from here, and where do we grow that, you know?
Well, that, you know, probably the answer to that is or the answer to a lot of the questions we posed earlier in it as to why, you know, it's a little bit of unrest now. There's 17 players gone from the panel that won the Christy Ring Cup last year and the league title, the Division 2B league. There's 17 players gone off that squad. That's a huge turnover. And I've no doubt that if every good hurler in Meath was available to the Meath hurling management, that Meath could make an impact at Joe McDonagh and Division 2A. It was always going to be difficult. Sure. Carlow, Leash, they're all a step ahead of us anyway. Who else is in that? You know, are awfully, I can't remember, but yeah. Westmeath, I think, are in the Christy Ring Cup this year.
You know,
so they're all a step above Meath at the when everybody is available. At the minute, they're probably two or three steps above us.
Sure.
So until everybody is prepared to give the commitment, and by everybody, I mean the players as much as the management, as much as the county board, until they're all prepared to give that commitment, we're only fooling ourselves to think that we'll ever catch up with a county like Carlow or Leash or Westmeath. And remember, we used to be competing with Corks and Limericks and Tipperary's and Clare's and Wexford's. Like, Meath bet Wexford in the National Hurling. I know you're going back long before you were even born, and most listeners are even born. But Meath beat Wexford in the National Hurling League in 1995, and 12 months later, Wexford are the All-Ireland Senior Hurling Champions.
Yeah,
they ran Limerick to a couple of points in a game up in Athboy, I think it was, or maybe it was in Trim, but you know, back in the 90s as well. And regularly competed to a decent level in the Leinster Senior Hurling Championship against your Offaly's and Kilkenny's. Okay, I'm talking about late 90s here. Okay, we would get beaten in those games, but we were competitive.
Sure.
Now yeah. We're not within an ass's roar of that.
Yeah, sure.
So until everybody commits, and there are some excellent hurlers, you look at the performance of the under-20s at the weekend, who had a superb draw against Westmeath. Now you might say, oh, geez, that's only a draw at Westmeath. Westmeath are hardly a superpower. But there's a huge focus on hurling in Westmeath, and they've done a massive amount of work. And to be 9 points down early in that game for the under-20 hurlers showed great balls and commitment and grit to get back and get the equaliser. So the hurlers are there. I mean, you've seen it. You saw them in a couple of games. You've seen it.
No, absolutely. And I think what was telling for me, I know we might get around to touching on this later on, but just to bring up, like, the club championship draws were on last week, and when I looked at the hurling club championship, I was thinking, okay, in this year's hurling club championship, you're probably going to have the likes of the four teams that were in the semi-final last year, then Tildaki, Ratosh, Kiltail, and Trim. You don't want to disrespect the players that are there, but I don't think that the hurling team at the minute is representative of how far them four teams are ahead in the county. That's not to say there's other good hurlers in county. Just to mention one name, I thought Sean Quigley got injured in still there. I thought he was a massive loss, and he's the mind man, But at the same time, I just think, as you said, there is probably more scope in terms of hurlers in the county and what's on the county.
No disrespect to those clubs operating at intermediate level, but the Senior Hurling Championship is now in a Group A and a Group B, and yet I think there's... I don't know how many off the top of my head, but there could be up to 10 players on the Meath Hurling panel from intermediate clubs, which is the third tier, really. Now, very hard to say that Dara Shine, Tom Shine, Sean Garrity, lads like that, are third tier hurlers, because they're not. In any other club in the county, if they were in Trim or they were in Kildaki, they'd be the star men for the Trim or the Kildaki team. If they were hurling up in Dublin, or in Leash or Wexford, they would be on those inter-county panels as well, because they're outstanding hurlers. But, you know, where are our top-class senior hurlers? Why aren't we drawing... You know, where are all the Kildaki lads? Where are the Ratoat lads? I know Trim had five or six fellas on the panel last year. They had three this year. James Thor, James Murray, Charlie Ennis. David Murta was on it as well, but David didn't get much of a run and had actually dropped himself off the panel before all this turmoil had come. But, I know lads are travelling, people are away, other people have their priorities that they prefer to focus on other things, and it is a huge commitment asking people to commit their time for what essentially was going to be relegation battles although there was no relegation in Division 2 of the National Hurling League this year because of the way it's been restructured for next year. They were essentially fighting, losing battles in both league and will be in the championship. So it's hard to motivate the players to dig in and do that. But, you know, what's that old the Liverpool song? It's always at the end of the day, there's a golden sky. You know, at the end of the storm, there's a golden sky. Sorry. So there are going to be rough days. But unless you power through it and are prepared to take the rough, you'll never get to the smooth.
Yeah, but again, like, looking at that kind of motivation, you know, if you were part of that Meath hurling panel, and we can only speculate on this, but would you not like to be part of that team that's immense? We've been doing this kind of yo-yoing.
Yeah.
And would you not want to be part of that team that's immense their place as a John McDonough team? Like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah. To me that makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
And to you that makes perfect sense. But to some of the players in there, it obviously doesn't. They're going. Yeah. And you can't. I know people went away travelling this year, which is fair enough. Perfectly. Young lads and absolutely take the opportunity to go travelling. But there are other players in the county that haven't gone travelling, and it's not as if they're, you know, bombarding themselves with games at this time of the year, but they're just not prepared to put in the commitment to be a Meath hurler. I don't know if that's the case with the Meath footballers. I don't think it is. And Meath footballers are in a let's face it, they're not in a whole lot of a better situation. Sure. We're operating in basically tier two. I know we'll play Sam Maguire in the summer this year, but that's only because we won tier two last year.
Sure.
And a fifth place finish in division two doesn't exactly smack of you know, Derry and Dublin like we saw yesterday and the quality that was there. But the Meath footballers seem to be prepared to stick with this process and can see a time maybe 3 years down the line where, you know, if they stick to this process, they can get to that level. And maybe the Meath hurlers would be the same if the stronger players stuck with it.
I suppose, as we said, moving on to Meath footballers, like there was one significant difference for me was that you did see that improvement in the Meath footballers in the games against Kildare and Louth, and there was a sense of where it, there mightn't have been last season, even though we did win the Tailteann Cup, there was a sense of Colm O'Rourke being proved right and proving a lot of people wrong in terms of, you know, this is going somewhere, like, and there is improvement there, like, you know.
Yeah, well, he definitely can't be faulted, or the management team can't be faulted for setting out their plan and sticking by it. You know, last year was far from ideal. The performance in the league were piss poor, and then they followed it up with one of the worst performances ever against Offaly in the Leinster Championship. This year, the performances were marginally better, and there is a little bit more optimism about the team, despite finishing in a similar enough situation. Last year, we had 4 points from the league. This year, what did we, six? I think it was six. We're 2 points better off, but we're and only one position better off. But you look back at the Fermanagh game and you think, God, that was a point drop there. If you got another point there, you had seven. We had a late chance to beat Cavan. If we'd taken that, you have 8 points plus that you would have gone into the game against Donegal still with something to play for, or a game against Cork, sorry, still with something to play for. So the game against Cork, there was nothing at stake. So it's no surprise that we lost that, although the manner of conceding the last 7 points in the game would be worrying. The game against Donegal, for 25 minutes, we defended excellently, showed lovely structure, a good, great tenacity, that part of the game is definitely there, just needs to be worked on to find more consistency. Second half against Loud, excellent, apart from the late squeaky bum time, as Alex Ferguson called it, against Loud. The first half against Cavan was as good as any performance by any team we've seen in the league, Division 1, 2, 3 or 4. So, you know, Meath have stitched together passages of good football, very encouraging football. It's just finding that consistency, and that will come with time. Will come with experience, will come the more games they play against the bigger opposition. And that starts next Sunday in Pierce Park against Longford in the first round of Leinster, where the prize, I'm not sure if prize is the right word here, is a Leinster semi-final against Dublin, or a Leinster quarter-final against Dublin. Not sure which of them it is. But the following week, now it looks as if Brian Fenton could be suspended for that game, but it's taken a leap to say that improves Meade's chances a little bit if they did manage to get over Longford. But look, we saw what happened last year against Offaly. The focus has to be on getting two quality games before the start off into the summer of Sam Maguire. Get a game against Longford, win that one, get a game against Dublin in Croke Park, get more experience into the players. I believe after that game, they're on about heading to Portugal for 4 or 5 day warm weather training camp, which will get more work into the players. They're a very young team, very inexperienced team, so everything they do now is all a learning process towards hopefully what will be brighter days in 2-3 years time.
Just one thing you mentioned there, but Brian Fenton, is that from the Malie? In the Derry game,
it was towards the end of the game, and I can't remember which of the Derry players it was. He went, and Fenton had the ball, and one of the Derry players came in from behind, a kind of a real hard tackle, and punched him right in the stomach. And you could see in the slow motion Fenton wincing, and as soon as he laid off the ball, he went running after your man, and he kind of shoved him, and the hands kind of went up into the neck. But the Derry player hit the ground as if he was after being stoned like a harlot in medieval times, and he hit the ground. It was a harsh red card, I thought, but it's a red, straight red card nonetheless. So I'm not sure how that affects championship, because sometimes red cards carry over only in the competition that were played in. Maybe you won't miss the game, but we'll take any help we can get.
I didn't get to see the game yesterday myself, but I did see, if I mentioned the Eagles, I did see on the Sunday game that they'd done a kind of a Pat Spillane-esque coverage of the Monday night, do you know what I mean, with the 96 Friday they went through that. But just going back to the Longford game, would you have any concerns? I mean, obviously, you know, a few years ago, Andy McAtee had arguably one of his worst days at that pitch. Would you have any concern, or do you think, you know, we'd be too good for Longford? Like,
I don't think Meath are ever in any position to think they're too good for anybody at this stage, and that should be their approach to the game. If Meath don't perform, if Meath don't hit their straps, you know, right from the off, they will be in trouble. It's as simple as that. We're not good enough yet to play in second gear and coast a victory over tier 3 or a tier 4 team. Meath need to be at it, because Longford certainly will be. They'll be up for this game. As you said, went down there a couple of years ago, or in 2018, I think it was, and Andy McEntee's side got turned over. Now, Shane McEntee picked up a harsh red card in that game, really poor red card, if I remember, not from Shane's point of view, from the referee's point of view, and that was a real turning point in that game. And then we missed chances late on as well, so it was a bad day, but it just proved, as Offaly did last year, that anything is possible if you're not at the game. So I don't think it will happen this year. I think they're much more focused. They realise the importance of getting games under their belt that before they go into the summer of football. Last year there was that, you know, coming off the back of the poor league, having not won a game since early February, and you know they were on a bit of a low going into it, but.
And it was at a very early stage of building that team as well.
They're older, more mature, more experienced, which is crucial. And there's options there as well. So I know there was a huge injury list at the beginning of this league, but that's given the chance to give new players to come in and give them their chance. And lads have really grasped that by the neck. Now, I'm not sure if the likes of Brian O'Halloran will be able to play, and he's probably been one of the finds of the league for me. He's been exceptional in that corner back role, but he's with the Meath under 20s, who are out on Tuesday night, have a massive game on Tuesday night as well. That's in Ashburn, I think. Yeah, in Ashburn on Tuesday night against Westmeath. So best of luck to call the Bricks team and that. This is of course the All Ireland winning minor team from 3 years ago. So they're going for under 20 glory. And as Colm O'Rourke said after the game against Donegal, we haven't made an impact at under 20 level, which is where our senior players should be coming from. So hopefully they'll be able to make an impact. But as I said, back to the original point, you know, players have stood up in the league and have taken their chances and have impressed. So there is a strength and depth there when you think you still have Jordan Morris to come back, Ronan Ryan to come back from injury, Jason Scully all to come back from injury. Conor Gray has to come back, but he could be a little while yet. And there's somebody else I'm leaving out. Can't remember off the top of my head. I apologise. leaving them out. But, you know, there is strength and depth there. But I definitely think Meath are in a better place. And, as I said, a crucial to get the win next Sunday in Longford. And then a decent performance against Dublin the following week, if things are to be anyway respectable in the summer.
Yeah. And what does... because Colm O'Rourke's, I suppose, image of success isn't going to be defined by a victory over Longford. So what does success look like, in your opinion, for Colm O'Rourke this year and Meath?
Well, Colm O'Rourke said it himself after that Donegal game. Again, he was full of words of wisdom after the Donegal game. But he said that he mightn't be the manager when this team tastes success. So for him, success is preparing a team that, if the needs be, to hand on to somebody else to finish them off. And somebody to polish it and get them over the line. But his success for him will be having 10, 12 players 24, 25, 26 years of age in 2-3 years' time, 3-4 years' time, that are ready. So that they're at their maturest, are full of experience, are battle-hardened, and are ready to contest with Dublin again for Leinster's and All-Ireland's. And he's of the opinion that by 2026, 27 National League campaign will be the start of a 3 or 4 year window for me to get that success. And for if as you said, if he's not that manager in 26, 27, success for him would be handing on this group of players to somebody who can make the most of it in that window.
And obviously, like, you know, I say I'm in agreement with that, and you're in agreement. We both see that this is a project in development, and it does take time. For someone who's a Meath fan to watch Meath matches in Lynch's pub or wherever they are going to matches, they mightn't, you know, we as Meath men, we don't necessarily have we wouldn't be known for our patience as much. So do you think there is an opportunity or a chance of taking a step in that All-Ireland Championship, do you know what I mean? Even a Monaghan or someone like that, like, do you know what I mean? Like, it's just,
this year?
Yeah.
The likes of Monaghan are certainly within our reach. And even if we have to play the likes of an Armagh again or a Donegal again or Cavan, you know, of that, probably, you know, Dublin, Kerry, Derry, are miles ahead of everybody else.
Yeah, absolutely.
Probably Mayo, Galway, then Mayo, Galway, Armagh, Tyrone, they're probably the next best. You're Division One teams, but then Meath are competing then with the Corks. But I would have no fear of Meath beating or taking on any of the teams outside that top five. So Dublin, Derry, Kerry, Galway, Mayo, Tyrone. After that, I any day of the week, I would think Meath are more than capable of beating those teams. And they're probably capable of it as well if a Tyrone or a Mayo or a Galway have a bad day. I just think Derry and Dublin and Kerry are definitely showed yesterday, Derry, that they're miles ahead of us.
Yeah, sure.
But as the new president said in his speech yesterday, 4 years ago or 5 years ago, Derry were on the steps of the Hogan Stand getting presented with the Division 4 league title. And now look at them.
Yeah.
You know, we've been holding our own in Division 2. We've been in Division 2 for 17 or 18 years, apart from 2 years where we spent 1 year in Division 3 and 1 year in Division 1.
Sure.
So, like, we're that middle of the road pack. But on our day, we've also been in two All-Ireland semi-finals in 07 and 09. We've been to the Super 8s in 2018. We'll be in the Sam Maguire this year. So we're not a million miles away.
Sure.
Maybe 999,000, but not a million miles.
Yeah, very good. Then just looking away as well, is there anything else you'd like to mention on the footballers?
Again, that under-20s are playing on Tuesday night. The minors last week had a very disappointing performance. One really, really poor. And I was talking to people that were involved in it. And they put it down to nerves that... You know, the stage got to them in Stamullen last Wednesday night, but it was a 12-point hammering by Kildare. But they have a chance to bounce back this Wednesday night. They're playing Loud in Hunterstown. A must-win game. They can still get out of the group, which will get them, you know, if Meath can get out of the group, I think even in second or third place, it would put them into, at the very least, a preliminary quarter-final. So they would be still on track, but they need to pick up against Loud on Wednesday night. The Meath hurlers next weekend, then I think next Saturday we have the minor hurlers who lost to Offaly last week by 3 points, a very narrow defeat against a good Offaly team. They're out again, I think, against Westmeath. Against Westmeath next week. I'm doing this off the top of my head. The under 20 hurlers who had a great draw with Westmeath last weekend are out next weekend against Derry. That's a double header in Park Tolchin. Next Saturday. So you have the minor hurlers against Westmeath at 1:30 and the under 20 hurlers against Derry at 3:00 next Saturday. So they're big games for our underage teams, but I think a huge amount of focus is going to be on the under 20 footballers on Tuesday night in Ashburn. As I said, they're the All-Ireland winners, from All-Ireland minor winners from 3 years ago. So it's basically this group are backboned by that team and the same management, Carl O'Brick and his backroom team. So there's a huge amount of focus on these lads.
Similar, like in terms of majority of that panel, or much of a change in the
years? There are a few, and I was talking to somebody over the weekend that suggested that the starting six forwards from that All-Ireland minor final win will be a completely different... The starting six forwards in the first game of the under-20 will be completely different from that team. You know, some of the players that played maybe a wing forward in that game could end up playing wing back or in midfield or something. So some of the personnel will be there.
Sure.
But the players wearing number 10 to 15... will be different than the players that wore 10 to 15 in the All-Ireland minor final 3 years ago. So
sure, from memory, they were heavily weighted by Callum Tills, wasn't it? There were a few lads on it.
There was a few. Sean Leonard.
Yeah.
Was probably one of the key players at the time. He was very good. And Sean Emmanuel was there as well.
Yeah.
I think there was Paul Wilson, but he was Dunmore Ashburn. I think he's focusing more on rugby, so I don't think he's on the panel. I know Oisín na Muiricí, I think, has gone off the panel. I think Christian Finlay was on that team as well. Mm-hmm. Hughie Corcoran from Drumbarra is another key player for them. Could be a good one. Oisín McDermott and Golds is very good. Then you have John O'Regan. Mm-hmm. And ironically, Brian O'Halloran, who was only a sub on that minor team, looks like he's going to be now the main man.
Yeah, sure.
When it comes to under 20, where you have John Finnerty, John O'Regan, Brian O'Halloran. You know, it's a strong looking team, Jack Kinloch. You know, it could be a good under 20 team, and hopefully they will go a long way. I know the panel was released during the week, and there's 37 players on it. So it's a huge big panel, and they've retained as many players as they possibly could. So they'll have a good chance, but. Yeah, it's busy times ahead, and the Camogie just finished up their league campaign at the weekend. Missed out on a place in the final, but you followed them this year, Tom. And a little bit of turmoil earlier in the year with losing their manager, Neely Cole, had to step down genuinely for health reasons.
Sure,
as opposed to some of the other ones that we might have discussed earlier. But how are they shaping up ahead of? You know, losing out in the intermediate final last year, All-Ireland intermediate final last year, to be hoping to kick on to that stage again.
Absolutely. I think Derry Hall and Tom Maloney, to be fair to them, have done an incredible job in taking on the responsibility that they didn't think they'd have at the start of the league, and keeping that team playing at a very high level. They put in a good performance in Neil Cole's last game against Westmead. We're the better team that day, and we're quite unlucky to not win that game, and then that game would have qualified them. So
it is Westmead beat Derry yesterday, and they're now facing off in the final.
Exactly.
So that's small margins.
And Derry had a very sort of second string team out yesterday. But yeah, that's one that Maggie Randall actually mentioned in her interview to me after that. That's one that they kind of have a little bit of regret about. But they're really shaping well. Obviously, you know, last year they probably would have heavily relied on Aoife Minogue, particularly in the scoring department. And it was good to see a good spread of stars across five of the starting six forwards scored at the weekend.
I'm very young.
Yeah. Yeah, very young team, very new team, but seem to be really gelling well together. You know, the likes of Emma Hannafin from Trim has gotten her start there. She's cemented her place there in corner four. Aoife Carey is going very well as well, Tara Foley. And then you have some of the stalwarts then, like Amy Daphne there in midfield. So, you know, it's looking promising. I think there's a lot to like about the team, and hopefully they can give that intermediate another rattle this year, you know.
And the ladies footballers, after a disappointing year last year and a kind of a hit and miss sort of a league, started off well in the league and finished well. It was the middle part that didn't go so great, but how are they shaping up? Could they get back to the heights that we once saw them at.
Yeah, hit and miss is a bit of an understatement. Yeah. they were, you'd have to say that they would have been very disappointed, particularly with their Kerry performance in Ashburn that day. That was a poor day for them. But they bounced back in the last game against Cork. They brought a bit of energy into the affair. You know, obviously there was going to be question marks over what Cork team is and how they're going at the minute. But at the same time, they needed the result to stay up. Do you know what I mean? Meade relegated them. They were going to battle hard. I thought it was a really good performance. I thought, obviously, Marion Farley and Emma Duggan on the inside line were looking dangerous every time they got the ball. Me personally, I might like to see Duggy come a bit deeper out a bit. But, you know, she's
dangerous close to the goals as well.
She's dangerous close to those. And they're shaping up as well. Shelley Media was excellent in that game, actually. She was fantastic. So that was a very good performance, a very high note to end with. There's probably still going to be a little bit of doubts if they have that, because they showed that sort of performance against Kerry, against Armagh, against Galway. We know that kind of performance is in them.
Yeah.
So there's still probably that lingering doubts going into the championship, but...
And Kerry, Armagh, and Dublin are going to be the... probably be the three favourites ahead of Meade, and so you know, when they showed that, although they did beat Dublin in the league, but to show their hand against Kerry and Armagh and lose the way they did,
could
linger in the mind.
Sure. And they have, well, obviously, look, they have to get through this Leinster Championship first. You'd imagine Leash have had a very similar situation to them, but they haven't come out the better of it in the fact that they came up from intermediate 2 years ago and have lost an awful lot of players since then. Aron Fitzpatrick was a very good player for them, and she's gone from Australia, and there's been a couple of others like that for that. But they ended up finishing bottom of Division 2.
Yeah.
So you'd imagine that Meade are in a lot of better shape than Leash are. Anyway, Kildare, you'd imagine it'd be... You'd like to think that they'd get to an end of final against Dublin, and that would be a real... mark for them, do you know what I mean? We'll find out a lot of answers from that.
Know a lot about them.
Yeah.
Yeah, look, we said we'd end it for, 37 or 8 minutes there. Yeah. So just want to give a special mention to Liam Foley, who's a son of Kevin Foley's former Meade footballer, best known probably for his goal, the equalising goal of the 4 in a row games against Dublin in 91. But his son, Liam, was competing in the world... Trisome games, I think is what they're called, for Down syndrome athletes in Turkey last weekend into Monday, Tuesday. And Liam produced stunning performances to win gold medals in both 1500 metres and 800 metres. So special congratulations to Liam Foley from the Hill of Down there, from Killine, and but a Trim Athletic Club member as well. So delighted to see him going well. We're recording this before the Grand National, so hopefully we'll have a Meade winner of the Grand National in Fairy House at a wet afternoon. So we're glad we took the option of watching it on the telly here rather than up in Fairy House. But a busy, never mind last 8 months that we missed with podcasts, but a busy last few days and a busy few days coming up as well with all sorts of underage teams in football and hurling out next week. So thanks a million, Tom. Good to have you on board, and we hope the listeners liked our return of the Meade Chronicle Sports Podcast, Talk a Good Game.
Thanks, Farrell.
Ladies and gentlemen, you've listened to another edition of the Meade Chronicle Sports Podcast, Talk a Good Game. Say hi!